And I'll talk more about this in another show specifically to that topic, but I hope you enjoyed the show for the day.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Mangi, Education Matters for WGTD Gateway 91.1 HD. Thank you for your ongoing support of Gateway, our radio programming, and for listening to us this morning. This is the sixth in our series of people in southeastern Wisconsin practicing peace and being kind as we recognize and celebrate the many people of our community who are making a difference, doing as much good as you can for as long as you ever can, one of Oprah Winfrey's better quotes. So today we're honored to have Carl Fields with us, and Carl is representing CUSH, and CUSH is Congregations United to Serve Humanity. And they've been doing a lot of good work for a number of years now. So Carl is also the program manager for the Hospitality Center in Racine, located in St. Luke's in downtown Racine. He was a lead speaker with Courageous Conversations a couple of months ago on the criminal justice system hosted by the Kenosha Civil War Museum. Judge Michael Wilk and Mike Gravely, Ruth Donalds, Carl Fields all led the way. So CUSH is involved in a lot of things, and most recently this past Saturday they sponsored a community breakfast uniting people from Racine and Kenosha at St. Matthew's Guildhall in downtown Kenosha. So Carl, can you tell us about your work with CUSH and what does CUSH do?
Well, thank you, Joe. It's good to see you again.
Yes.
CUSH is tied to a statewide group that we're all connected to, which is Wisdom. Here in Kenosha, it's CUSH. In Racine, it's Racine Interfaith Coalition. In Milwaukee, it's MICA. Madison is Moses. And so we all link up and we've joined together because we're fighting systemic and structural racism.
Okay.
We most certainly are looking to do that in our different pockets of the state. Down here in Kenosha with CUSH, we're looking to challenge a couple different things, and fairness and equity for all is one of those things in particular that we're really looking at. CUSH has been in operation for quite a long time, and so CUSH is a staple here in Kenosha. My role that I play with CUSH is that I'm the community organizer for the group Expo, which is ex-incarcerated people organizing, and we have a group that is statewide, and that's how we do this work around criminal justice and reentry. But here in our region, Racine and Kenosha, we share a group because we're so close in numbers. We're tied with our issues, and you know it's extended community stuff. So I'm here to do the work of criminal justice and reentry, and lend a hand to what's already going on.
You mentioned connecting Racine and Kenosha, and I've always felt in a number of ways our communities have a lot in common. We're so close together.
Indeed.
And instead of being silos, it's admirable to see an organization like CUSH bringing people together from both communities towards a common goal. So CUSH sponsored the Southeast Wisconsin Reentry Employer Expo recently, and you were in charge, more or less. So can you tell us what that was all about?
Well, I played a supporting role. We all know that the guy was the one who spearheaded it all, the DA, Mr. Gravely himself.
Michael Gravely,
he's done a tremendous amount of work in this area, and the expo came together because as a resource fair, it was about employers coming to meet organizations that help to employ people. And mm-hmm. so with that, there was this energy around the creating a culture in mass to bring people home in a way that makes sense. And that's one of Mike Gravely's key messages, is that justice is not just how we lock people up or for how long we lock them up, but how we receive them when they come back and how we create real opportunities for them to be taxpaying mm-hmm. citizens again. That is restorative, and that is public safety as well. And you can't have one without the other.
That's really admirable, really, really admirable. And you're doing something that's very, very courageous, that people sometimes, myself included, don't really understand. You know, we don't. Uh-huh. So who are some of the employers, some of the companies that are helping with this?
Well, there were a lot of representatives that were there. I mean, you know, from both Racine and Kenosha, you know, Department of Workforce Development was there. You know, Milwaukee came and represented as well. The WRTP, Big Step, the First Apprenticeship Program, the Pre-Apprenticeship out of Racine. I mean, you name it. UMOS was there. Windows to Work, you know, had a place there as well. They had a table. This company, Goodwill Industries, they were there. Children First Sharp, they were there. Gateway Technical, it was, you know, mm-hmm. on their facility, in their establishment, they were there as well. There were just a lot of different, you know, business partners, community partners that were there to speak to the fact that there are more jobs, or there were soon to be more jobs than there are people to fill them. And there is a labor pool that has yet to be tapped in a realistic way. That also lends itself to creating second chance opportunities for people who are transitioning from facilities, from incarceration, from recovery houses, you name it. It changes the conversation completely when we all walk together mm-hmm. in a restorative way, how we receive people who have been incarcerated. Like myself, as you well know, I'm ex-incarcerated. And I had quite the time finding employment when I came home a couple of years ago. So I push hard for this. And one of the reasons why, you know, I'm doing this work with Kush on the criminal justice side is because in first person mode, as an impacted person, my conversation is exactly that. And the work that I do, trained as an organizer, is exactly that. Because the entire community benefits when we show grace and compassion for both sides.
Well, it's exactly true, and I was present at the Courageous Conversations a couple of months ago on the whole incarceration system, and the statistics uh-huh. were mind-boggling. Wisconsin has the highest incarceration rate in the country. I mean, it's double the size of the next state, which right. I think was Nebraska.
Minnesota, okay. Right, Minnesota.
So how... Knowing that, and knowing that it's a huge challenge, how do you get people to get reinstated into society and become taxpaying citizens? And how, that's got to be awfully hard because of the stigma right. and the racism attached to it.
And it's quite the heavy lift, no doubt about it. I would say that one of the hardest pieces to have a conversation about with all of this is that racism is tied to criminal justice and mass incarceration. To unpack that is extremely difficult to most people who have been just living their lives and haven't been able to see that. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about initially how, you know, take a few steps back in generations and in American history, we can point to rules and laws and policies that were put in place specifically and mostly for racial reasons, but they also had economic benefits to them. Mm-hmm. Fast forward a couple decades, and then you see separate but equal laws, you see Jim Crow laws, you see all these different things that look like social pieces to keep people isolated, but there are also economic benefits to those social pieces. Mm-hmm. Fast forward into the civil rights movement, and we talk about the voting piece and other groups and neighborhoods, entire neighborhoods being able to have a say in where their kids go to school and what sort of enriched academic education they're going to receive, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then as you fast forward into today in this current mass incarceration era, I would say that just like the bringing people up to speed who haven't experienced that, lived that, talking to them, it's similar to how I talk to ex-incarcerated people, because living this in first-person mode, you really have to put blinders on in order to get through it as well, because I was in prison for 16 years before I came home. And in a very big way, I had to develop a narrow view of where I was in order to get through it, to protect myself emotionally. Mm-hmm. I also opened myself up academically to learn quite a bit, and psychologically, so that I could see the benefits of what this place could be despite how it was treating me. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't treating me in a rehabilitative, progressive way.
Right.
I was being beat down in ways that I couldn't even explain. And so talking to people who have lived those lives and who have not served as much time as I have, I talk to them all the time of, I need for you to understand that a different worldview is going to be needed in order to get your life back. Mm-hmm. Getting your life back does not mean getting your freedom back. Those aren't exactly the same things.
Well, in all sincerity, having met you for a while now and work with you, you to me, you're Kenosha and Racine's Nelson Mandela. I mean, I don't know how you kept your sanity, and I mean, you know, he's one of my role models, yeah, being incarcerated for over 20 years, and he comes out and he reunites his country, not seeking revenge or bitterness, and he uses the word Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U,
right?
I am because we are.
That's right.
So if we're to bring each other together, we live in silos. And how to break down the silos and bringing everybody together so we can be here for each other is really admirable. So
Indeed.
Did you maintain your sense of peace? And what can you say? I mean, to me, a lot of people are incarcerated in their own minds, in their own silos. In a way, it's an incarceration. I mean, you look at Milwaukee, and people in the inner city are in food deserts.
Right.
You know, there's no Pick and Save or Sentry's or Kroger's. I've been there.
Right.
There's no Walgreens. There's no CVS. You can't. All of the big stores are on the periphery. There's no bus service out to Mayfair or to the periphery.
Right.
So in a way, it's a kind of incarceration. So how do you rise above that?
A lot of prayer. I mean, I'm a faithful person, and so my faith is a big part of how I got through my experiences. You pray, we pray our way through this, but we also do the work to awaken to the many challenges that you just named. Some of them can clearly be traced to just bad policy decisions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of others can be seen as, you know, some of the collateral damage to other policies. A lot of that is abstract thinking. And when you're an impacted person and you're living that life, it is very hard to see those abstract pieces in the way that you just described them, mm-hmm. and how they affect my life and what I, as an impacted person, can do about it. One of my things that I really push hard for with Expo, because Expo is, it's part peer support, part civic engagement. And I tell my buddies all the time that it's not just about, you know, getting clean, getting sober, or getting to a point where you're making better choices for yourself, because no amount of individual choices can change systemic oppression for you as a person. You can make as many good choices as you want, and systemic oppressive policies will still bear down on you.
Yeah.
How one goes about changing that neighborhood, that type of neighborhood, lack thereof, We got to come together. Right. That's what we ask of people all the time, and that's one of the things with Kush that we're asking for. We're asking for people to come to a meeting, come to a Kush event, come to a Rid Racism event, come to a, you know what I mean, come to the different events that we having down here in Kenosha to begin to learn the language around these conversations, because most people aren't afraid to have such conversations. They just don't have the proper language, the proper tools with which to have such a conversation. And a lot of our meetings turn into that. We begin to build relationships with people that we've never had relationships with, because they feel comfortable enough, because they can speak without offending, They can speak their piece without being attacked, and they ultimately can live their values through the space that we've created to let them do so.
You're right. It's finding a common ground. When we were doing cultural competency with Kenosha Unified some years ago, we would ask the question to everybody, when was the last time you felt different?
Right.
And it's surprising. It shocked the world out of us because we were hearing, people who, short people were facing teasing and discrimination their whole lives.
Right.
Poverty is a big issue, not having the same good enough clothes when you're in school for a kid growing up. I mean, there are all these things, when was the first time and the last time you felt different? For me, growing up Italian in Milwaukee, I went to Marquette High School, and I was too skinny to play football. I was the worst football player on the planet.
I
fumbled
understand.
Seven times in a row, okay?
Wow.
So I hold the record, I'm sure. So, and my mother had it with me coming home with bandages and my arm in a sling and busted up. So I went out for cross country.
Okay.
So.
Me too.
Really?
Yes.
You're a long-distance runner?
Indeed. It's all about the breathing and endurance.
Wow. Well, in those days, in the 50s and 60s, cross-country, nobody knew about cross-country. I mean, I was running home through Jackson Park with all my books and my leather jacket after hours because the bus stop was a mile from our house, and I got picked up by the police twice who thought I was a suspicious character because I was running alone in a park.
Oh, wow. Now,
those were the days.
Okay.
But the story, so I ended up being co-captain of a cross-country team, and it's the fall sports assembly, and it's 999 boys, and we're all in the auditorium. The football players got their awards, and they call up the cross-country team.
Right.
And there was, murmuring. I mean, guys will be guys. But so I get my major letter, and I'm really beaming. This is my shining moment, my proudest moment of my 4 years at Marquette High. On the way back to my chair in the auditorium, I get called a WAP, a Dago, cross country's a sissy sport. And there was a lot of anti-Italian sentiment. I mean, the Untouchables was the number one TV show for 4 years. Every single week, the bad guys were the mafia.
Uh-huh.
So you're Italian growing up in Milwaukee, you're the mafia. I never met anybody in the mafia, but that's how Hollywood has portrayed Italians for 60 years.
Right.
There's only been one movie I can think of with Cher, Moonstruck.
Oh,
it wasn't about the mob.
Sure, I know that one.
Okay, that's it. So we're still, how you doing? How you doing? You know, who'd you whack yesterday? I still get that stuff. So I'm walking back to my seat, and man, I lost it and was ready to fight this kid, of the many. But to me, that was just one iota of what you have to go through and people of color have to go through forever.
Right.
For me, it ended when I came to Kenosha. Kenosha has a large Italian community, and people embraced me, and my wife. But, so that's just one iota. But my point is everybody has something to share about when was the first time you felt different. When was the last time you felt different?
Right.
And so you're talking about being imprisoned in a toxic neighborhood.
Right.
How does that change?
Prison, two things, policy and culture. Policy is a very hard thing to change. Culture is carried more by people than anything else. We can change people. We can change people's minds. We can certainly vote people in and out, through utilizing that, the democratic process.
Sure.
But to really understand that familiarity versus not is one of the most powerful tools that I've come across in all of this work. And a lot of policies have not changed in the past couple of years, but a whole lot of culture around prison, whether it be local or state, have changed quite a bit. What's going on in Kenosha at KCDC, at the county jails. A lot of that's policy, but a whole lot more of it is also culture. I mean, we can't be treating people less than simply because they look different.
Right.
Justifying profiling because of immigration is, in my opinion, atrocious. It's one of the things that when you put a thing that most people who are in this country did, once you put it into a criminal category, the language that surrounds talking about criminality go along with it. And so we're no longer talking about people fleeing for a better life or fleeing to get away from, you know, serious safety concerns in their country, their part of the world. We're talking about a bunch of criminals who need to go back to where they come from. And the way that we've built up this country's narrative around criminals and criminal justice, it needs an overhaul. Mm-hmm. And there are far too many things in the criminal category that just shouldn't be. And in my opinion, immigration is one of them.
You know, it's interesting. 2 weeks ago, we had the education forum at the Civil War Museum with good people, the principals and the good people from Kenosha Unified.
Uh-huh.
But we talked about our Latino kids, our Hispanic kids, and the parents who, as one principal said, have gone underground.
Yeah.
Because they're scared to death of what immigration, and as Juan Torres said, his words were, it's palpable.
Right.
He feels it in the Hispanic community, and we see it with kids, with our bullying prevention,
uh-huh.
kids being reticent, kind of hanging back a little bit, not being kids.
That's right.
So it affects the children. It affects education. Parents come into school, don't want to sign hot lunch forms or free lunch forms, or reluctant
right.
to sign anything.
Anything. Anything.
So how... I mean, I don't know if everybody understands that this is in our community and it's affecting our kids.
Right.
You
right.
see it.
Oh, yeah, clearly. Clearly, what you know, some of the work that we do together with Peace Learning Circles. I mean, the kids are a lively bunch, and kids need a shot, but they need an opportunity. And the lanes that they drive down have been paved by us,
right.
those who came before them. And they have to create their own lanes when we've closed them off.
Mm-hmm.
And for a young brown-skinned person coming up in the educational system now, they're scared to death for themselves, they're scared to death for the people they care about,
mm-hmm.
and that completely changes their academic opportunity. I mean, that just the wherewithal to learn something is missing
right.
when you're wondering if your mom or your dad are going to be home when you get home. And like you said, that term underground, I mean, the last time I really saw that, read that in a heavy way was, you know, making reference to, you know, World War II Germany.
Right.
I mean, how powerful is that, that we have such strong rhetoric coming from otherwise good people
right.
about lock them up, get them out, send them back?
It's playing on the fear factor, and everybody's afraid. And so it's not bringing people together. It's a divisiveness, but it's filtering to the kids.
That's right.
You know, we ask one of the girls, we work fourth graders, as you know, with bullying prevention.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Manji, I don't feel even. Even is a word a lot of kids use. I don't
right.
feel even. I'm not on an even keel.
Right.
There's all these, I mean, it's a 1-2 punch. Poverty and racism will knock everybody out.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, you had to overcome both of those, and it doesn't end.
Right.
That's the kicker. For
right.
a lot of people, like myself, at some point I stopped being the mafia, and I was just Joe Manji.
Sure.
But
sure.
for tons of people, it never ends. I mean, you got to deal
yeah.
with that all the time, every day,
yeah.
you know.
And so I personally carry it with grace. I ask that a lot of my peers do the same. But we do this work with impacted people and with allies as well. And that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why, you know, I'm happy to do this work with Kush. Kush has been at this a long time. And the Immigration Task Force here in Kenosha is addressing that, exactly that. I mean, for mm-hmm. those who have something to say about families, particularly kids being treated with dignity and respect, I would say, hey, give Kush a call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inquire about the task force, because immigration reform, quote unquote, does not mean pushing brown skinned people to the margins.
So this Sunday, Connections, Actions, Learning for Allies of Immigrants and Asylum Seekers, Beth Hillel Temple, 4 p.m., Rabbi Feingold is leading the charge. Can you share anything about that?
The rabbi and I haven't officially met yet. I'm moving my feet pretty quickly to meet quite a few people, and he's one of them. That get together is coming. Like you said, that's going to be on Sunday. We invite everybody out. My friend who's actually from Racine, Diane Lang, retired county supervisor, she'll be on hand as well. She is a powerful force in the immigration task force category. Mm-hmm. She's actually one of the people to spearhead the task force in my city in Racine.
Okay.
And so she'll be on hand as well. And I think she'll actually be doing, I'm trying to think of what sort of training that she'll be tied to. There's a thing that we talk about called, Citizen Observer.
Okay.
And the Citizen Observer work, and that's what the ACLU calls it. It's also called court accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
It's about going into courts, bearing witness to what's happening.
Okay.
Taking notes to what you see, and being a citizen who is pushing for equity and fairness of how people are treated. Because if no one's there to see, did it really happen in the way mm-hmm. that the person is describing?
Excellent. So it's Rabbi Dina Feingold. And I think she's on a trip right now, but she'll be back on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so leading the way. So last Saturday, Kush sponsored this breakfast, this community breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mention that. The food was awesome. Please mention that.
St. Matthew's Episcopal Church Guild Hall at 7th Avenue in Kenosha, Southern style breakfast prepared by the ethnic elders. So, two questions. Which congregations are involved in Kush? Can you name them?
No, I can't name
some
them.
Of them or?
No, I can't name them all right off top, but I can tell you there are several different church organizations that have signed on. But even if you're not a part of one of the congregations that are officially part of Kush, you can sign on to Kush as an individual. We've been working at that to have that happen as well. Racine is trying to do that as well, to make a space for individuals to come on and be a part of Kush as well as Rick.
Okay.
Now, and that is because a lot of individuals have a lot to contribute to both the conversation and to the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody who is looking to, want to get involved in Kush, whether it's criminal justice or immigration or transit, because that's important too. We really haven't talked about the jobs that are coming, the jobs that are here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Haribo has plenty of jobs.
Okay, so share a little bit about the jobs.
What I would say about that is that a lot of new jobs that are coming
mm-hmm.
find themselves on the outer perimeters of the city.
Okay.
And us wanting to help people get their lives back and us wanting to help people get a leg up.
Mm-hmm.
One of the pillars is housing, of course. The other is, jobs. The jobs being on the outskirts of town, transportation is the key part. A lot of people don't drive. A lot of people have inabilities to drive. And so public transportation has to play a role in social justice. And we have to address, in my opinion, we have to address it in those terms.
Sure.
And the lack of busing to the outskirts of town, to where the jobs are and where the new jobs are soon to be, is detrimental to a lot of those food deserts that we're talking about. They become job deserts when people can't get to where the jobs are as well. And so that's a real conversation. And so there are a lot of people who, from firsthand accounts, because of their profession or because of just being bus riders,
right,
can contribute a great deal to those conversations, whether it's at City Hall or whether it's at the county building. When those types of votes and those types of, decisions are being made, people have to be there. You know, as an informed person myself, I can only do so much. And one of the reasons why I took an organizer job is because our key focus is to bring people together so we can move in mass and make an impact.
So this is my suggestion. I have we're bi-coastal grandparents. My son is in Washington, D.C., with our two of our granddaughters and his wife. My youngest daughter is in L.A. with her husband and her young daughter. Everybody Ubers or Lyfts everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So we were talking. I gave a presentation to the Bigfoot school system, five districts, on August 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems they have at their high school is the faithful 50. You have the same 50 kids who are on the football team, who are on student council, who are in student government, the same 50.
Right.
Okay. The other kids can't stay after school. They ride the bus home. There are no late buses.
Hmm.
So we were talking about, okay, get grandparents. Madison has the Grumps, the Grandparents United for the Madison Public Schools. So does Milwaukee. Grandparents, people are retired, Uber kids back and forth to practice.
Right.
And everybody shares, you know, you do Monday nights. I'm going to Uber. I can fit four kids in my car. So what if Cush developed a network of retired people, people with a car, Ubering people back and forth to the eye for the jobs at Uline or her.
That is not a bad.
What'd you call it?
Haribo? Yeah,
they're coming in. Foxconn, Amazon.
Right. Amazon, indeed.
I mean, just a thought.
Right.
Is that possible?
I think that's quite possible. It's actually a pretty good idea. I mean, there's already, reference points for that sort of thing. That's one of the things that we do around voting, getting people to the polls.
Sure.
We do that with a small army of volunteers. And so, yeah, that's worth a conversation. I mean, if anybody's listening who's willing to play a part in something like that, that'd be great.
Well,
that'd
maybe
powerful.
There could be a committee meeting to talk about that. I mean, we always talked about problems being a triangle. At the top, there's the problem. Everybody knows what the problem is.
Right.
You go to the left angle, and we have the intelligence.
Uh-huh.
We have the means. We understand.
Uh-huh.
But the solution is the far right angle. And somewhere between intelligence and solution, there are roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
And everything comes to a screeching halt. So what are the ways that you can demolish the roadblocks and solve the problem? So if the problem is the jobs are on the I-94 and that corridor,
right.
And people can't get to them, okay, then how do we get people?
Right.
Either we bus them,
right.
You know, the city buses or county buses,
uh-huh.
You know, go further, or we start an Uber revolution,
sure.
You know, and get people back and forth.
That is certainly a start. That's a powerful start, too. I also feel like to get people involved in civic engagement, you got to have skin in the game.
Right.
Because we all have skin in the game, I would say that, you know, most people listening, most people that we talk to and deal with already have that.
Right.
They just don't know it. And that's the real heavy part for me, is that we all have a sense of what it takes to do this. But until we can be activated and move our feet toward changing policy that works for, you know, the greatest amount of people,
right,
we'll always have the greatest amount of people struggling in ways that they shouldn't.
There's a connection to sports, and I like what the Milwaukee Brewers fans is doing.
On their way, huh?
Well, here's the thing.
On their way.
So Craig Counsell meets with his team in spring training, and he says to them, we're a team. And if you want to be one of the final 25 going north, playing on a major league team, you have to make your teammate better.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at a bunch of guys, they're not the greatest, other than Christian Yelich, they're not the greatest players in the world, but they work together as a team, and there's so many interchangeable parts that all 25 guys play. It's not just 9 plus the starting pitcher.
That's right.
And so everybody's got to make their teammate better. So you hear that at the high school level. Coaches, we have great coaches. They're teaching their kids. But at the professional level, you don't always see that. You know, it's usually the star system. So for a team to go this far. So if we took that concept in schools, telling our kids, you got to make your classmates better.
That's right.
You know, we're a class. We're a team. We're a connection. In the workplace, in our community, how do we make everybody better? Because everybody has something to contribute.
Of course.
So I totally agree.
We're kind of coming to the end. Any last thoughts on what people can do to get involved? Who are the contact people at Cush? Is Dawn Lingo one of them?
Oh, yeah. Ankeny, which is, you know, the name she's going by now. Dawn Ankeny, right?
Okay.
Veronica King is certainly one of the contact people. A lot of different board members are on hand for that. My friend Marge Krupp, she's one of the connect
Marge
points
Krupp, sure.
as well. And, you know, and myself included. I am officially a part of Cush in that regard. And people can certainly touch base about whether it's a criminal justice task force, which is the ROC task force.
Okay.
Of which Marge is a part. And those meetings are at the Bradford UU Church, which is a member.
Bradford United?
Yep.
Okay, church.
And so the expo meetings as well, you know, we haven't been seen, but we're working at having them here in Kenosha, and they will most likely be at the UU Church as well. You can reach out to the website. You can
just Cush, KenoshaRacine.com?
Yeah, well, with Cush, you can reach out to Dawn Lingo. Her actual email address is cushorganizer@gmail.com.
Okay.
You can reach out to her. You can reach out to me. My email is carlj.fields@gmail.com, and that's carlj.fields@gmail.com. And I would certainly say, they can give a call. They can give a call. My direct number is 262-412-5621. And I can connect them to, you know, whichever group it is they're looking to receive more information about. Or we can just sit down and have some coffee and talk.
Okay.
Because all of this starts with relationships. And we've been able to accomplish as much as we have, whether it's, pushing for better treatment for immigrants who've been detained.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's the Ban the Box that, you know, has had some success. And we need to lift up those successes. Or it's simply that, you know, we want to push around a couple of different things because childhood poverty, like we talked about,
right.
is a big deal in Wisconsin right now. It went up 20%. It's a big deal when we're talking about those who already live in, economically strapped situations. They go to schools that aren't ideal and their parents are struggling. When you couple all that with childhood poverty, being black or brown, doubly so.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to rise above your circumstances, but you certainly need people, community partners to help with that. And so I was more than happy to be a part of the Employment Expo because it was for organizations and employers, but individuals who needed jobs also showed up. So we were there to have real conversations right. with them too.
One of the dramatic things when I was superintendent is snow days. You know, everybody gets, you get beat up either way, but I was reluctant to close schools because Kenosha Unified gives breakfasts and lunches
right.
to tons of kids, lots of kids.
That's right.
So here it is, 20 below zero, and you're closing schools, and principals and custodians, the head custodian, still have to report to maintain the building.
Right.
And I'd get calls as superintendent, you know, Mr. Manji, I got 15 kids at the front door, and should I let them in? They're hungry. They want to have breakfast, and right. it's 20 below zero. Or there's 15 feet of snow out there, 15 inches of snow out there,
right.
and kids are still traipsing because they're hungry.
Right.
So, yeah, I would always say, absolutely, let them in. You know, there's got to be something you can feed kids. But
wow.
we're talking about childhood poverty and not having enough to eat when kids are coming to school.
Wow. Yeah.
All over the city when you're calling a snow day and, you know, a lot of people are upset with you. Why didn't you close school? Well, that's one of the reasons you have to think about. So is there powerful. So St. Matthew's Guild Hall, the Bradford Community Church, is there a primary church? Or?
No, there are no primary churches in that sense. Every church that's a part of the coalition mm-hmm. plays a particular part. You know, some churches sure. are very active. Some are, you know, less so. But everybody is playing a part. And to get involved in Cush, I would say that you definitely would not have to belong to one of the
sure.
one of the congregational churches. one of the members in order to be a part.
You have Parkside Gateway and Carthage involved also, as well as Rabbi Dina Feingold, because I'm looking at coming up calendar. And Sunday, October 14th, 4 p.m. at the Beth Hillel Temple, Allies of Immigrants and Asylum Seekers. Thursday, October 18th, 7 p.m., Rohingya Muslims, Stateless and Unwanted at Carthage College.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for mentioning that one as well.
So
oh,
7 p.m., Campbell Student Union Auditorium, Alford Park Drive. Can you share anything about that one?
Oh, I was not on the schedule for that one, but I've been posting it and putting it around because I have a lot of friends of who have that on their interest table. Absolutely.
There's a social justice book club October 16th, Sweat by Lynn Nottage, Northside Library at 6:30 p.m.
Right. Now, that one I was scheduled to be a part of because that is both hip-hop and the Sweat is a play. A powerful play that comes out of New York. It's been on for a while, and they've received great acclaim on it. And it's about the outsourcing of jobs and the way that we've lost industries and the poverty that has come out of that here in the Midwest. You hear a lot about the East Coast. You hear a lot about the West Coast. You hear a lot about the South, but the Midwest took some serious hits when the industrial era took a nosedive.
Right.
Whether it's Racine and the factories that we had in producing tractors, or it's Kenosha and us producing cars here, or it's North and the different paper mills, etc. Everybody has taken some hits, and the Midwest has taken hits in a way that haven't been lifted up, so that people can see. The results come out of us being aware, like you said, as part of that triangle. There are some challenges between us knowing what the problem is and getting to the solution. One of the things we have to do is be talking to each other, not at each other. And we need to be willing to work through the challenges that come up. Courageous conversations for me are all about, that's why I signed on willingly. That is all about us working through some of the things that we already know from the start are going to be hard. A lot of people in Kenosha, we ask of Kenosha participants, Kenosha residents, Kenosha community members to come out and be a part of the things that we're sponsoring, the things that we support, because it starts with conversation and it builds into relationship and it turns into policy change.
There's a quote from Oprah Winfrey, "Joy and triumph are felt by people of every creed and belief. And though it's true what Maya Angelou always said, we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike." So makes us whole. So we're going to conclude. Thank you so much, Carl Fields.
And, thank you, sir.
And God bless you for all the things that you're doing in Kenosha to bring people together. You must be a tired guy. Your energy is palpable.
Well, it comes from being on the shelf for a long time wanting to do this.
Yeah.
I was in prison a long time, and after maybe year two, I decided I was going to do something else with my life, and once I got it back, this would be it.
Yeah.
So we're just getting started, Joe.
Thank you so much.
Kush, and all the rest. We're just getting started.
Yeah. What is the Mexican proverb that goes, they thought they could bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We sure appreciate it. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the City of Racine hosts a Murder Mystery Dinner fundraiser on October 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Bryant Community Center. Tickets are $17. Call 636-9131 for more. Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. Jack's Cafe has a fabulous new menu for fall, filled with all the best flavors of the season, including a pumpkin waffle for breakfast or a wonderful warmed farro bowl for lunch. Jack's Cafe now open at 8 a.m. JackAndrea.com. Support for WGTD comes from Classic Violins, quality and tradition since 1989, featuring award-winning handcrafted violins, violas, and cellos, private and small group lessons for all ages and experience levels, woodwind and brass instrument rentals. Visit ClassicViolins.com, 577-5488.
Support for WGTD comes from Gateway Technical College. Get a college degree, tuition-free, through the Gateway